Let's all stand together. Grab your Bibles. God is good. And all the time. Woo! All right, y'all ready for the word today? Okay, up on the screen, we're going to start with John 1:1. We're going to all read and say this together. I like to hold my Bible up. You can do whatever you want, but just like when you watch a game sporting them running out of the tunnel in a football game, you know, they always have their hands up. You know, that's a sign of victory. That is a universal. I don't care. It doesn't matter about the language. That's a universal sign. When you come out in victory. I like to hold my Bible up. You don't have your Bible up. Hold your fist up. We're going to read these first couple of verses. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. All things were made and came into existence through Him. And without Him was not even one thing made that has come into being. Luke 1:37, for with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. In Matthew 6:33, but seek, aim at, and strive after first all His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right, and then all these things taken together will be given you besides. Father, we just ask right now, Your anointing come all over us today. Father, the words that I speak, they are not mine. They're Your words and Your words alone. I pray that the ears and eyes of our understanding be opened up today. The Word promises that the Word won't return void. We are not to be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. Father, I pray that the seed that is planted here today is not going to die and wither off to the side, but it's going to take hold in the soil. It's going to be watered throughout this week. Today is the beginning of a new revelation according to Your Word. Without the information, know the transformation can't take place. So I just pray for that. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Today, we're going to continue on as we have last week and the next 2 weeks is looking at God's plan or His will for your life. How to walk in it and what is the plan. Y'all raised your hands last week and said, yes, I want to know God's plan. And the response was, then know God's word. Right? Come on. If you want to know God's plan for your life, know His Word. His Word tells you the plan. His Word tells you how to live. As you live righteously and obedient unto God's Word, the plan unfolds right in front of you. There'll be times and seasons where you'll get more specific direction from God as He speaks to you specifically. But for every one person here, He speaks to everyone through His Word every single day. The Holy Spirit then reminds us, comes alongside of us, and that's where last week we went over John 16:13. He says, howbeit the Spirit of truth, when He comes, He's going to guide you into all truth. What is the truth? The truth is the Word. For the Holy Spirit's not going to speak of Himself, but whatever He hears from God, the Word, that shall He speak, and He's going to show you things to come. When I know what's going to come around, what's happening tomorrow, the next day, and things have passed, I know that God's never going to leave me or forsake me. So that's the plan. The plan is God's not going to leave me, so it doesn't matter what happens tomorrow. And as we continue, and today, we're going to talk about the plan for our lives, God's plan. Number two is to get rid of fear. His plan for us is to get rid of fear. How do I do that? Part of that is the end of chapter, verse 13 here. It says He's going to show you things to come. I don't have to fear when I know it's going to happen. Well, three of you, okay. I don't have to fear when I know what's going to happen. If I already know what's going to happen, well, I'm fearful. No, I already know what's going to take place. Why? To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. I don't have to fear about that. Well, if I get sick, well, you can pray for healing. Well, about my anything can happen, change and be restored like that, because with God, all things are possible. Verse 14, He's going to glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and show it unto you. All things, verse 15, that the Father has are Mine, therefore say you, He shall take of Mine and show it unto you. Everything that Jesus had, everything that you and I will ever have that the Word promises is now given unto you. I don't have to fear anything because all power, all authority is now given unto me. If I have all power and all authority, why would I fear anything? Why am I running from anything? Why do I have to, why am I changing anything if I don't fear? If God told me to do something, well, but God, I don't know if you planned on this part. Of course he did. So last week we looked into, there'll be times and seasons where something will happen in your life. God never told you to change the plan. There's just, you're doing something, and all of a sudden, wait, oh, this is getting rough, God. This is rough. He said, endure it. Jesus, this is the plan for your life. You have to go to the cross. Jesus said, man, if there's any different way of doing this, man, I'm in. But he said, no, this is the plan. So there'll be at times in our life you're going to have to endure. But we looked at Paul, and Paul said, wait, but sometimes something's going to come up against us that's contrary to God's plan or God's word. Those are the things you speak God's word right at. You stand up and you come up against it. I don't care if it's at your work or at your house or whatever it is. You speak the word right at it. So I don't have, God's plan is us to know his word, to know when it's, something's in his plan, when it's outside of his plan. And now we can't even do the plan if we're full of fear. He can't trust us to move on. So fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. The two can't coexist. You can't be fearful of something and full of faith at the same time. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. So our foundation passage today is 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. It's on the screens in the King James. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Who is that? That's us. This is for you. We've obtained like precious faith through the righteousness of God. Through the right, how do we obtain that? Through a right standing with God. Being obedient unto word. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I've obtained a right precious faith because I'm obedient and I'm in a right standing with God. We even read that. I seek first the kingdom of God and his way of doing anything, his way of being right, and then everything else will be added on to you. The plan. Verse 2. Grace and peace now are going to be multiplied unto you through what? Knowledge of God. Knowing the word. In order to do God's plan, grace and peace are going to be multiplied onto you, but that's through the knowledge of God. Verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things, things, word, everything in this word has been given unto us as it pertains unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. That's the word, through the knowledge of the word, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That's the word. That these ye might be partakers of this divine nature. Not your old nature, your new nature. Your old nature says, I can't do it. Your new nature said, all things are possible. Your old nature says, I'm tired. Your new nature says, wake up, and God's strength is what's going to carry you through. Your old nature said, you complains. Your new nature shuts its mouth. Well, that was good. Thank you, everyone. All right. So righteousness is a right standing with God. I want to be right before God. I want to do what is right. In order to do that, I have to know the word. Having the ability of God and the nature of God inside you is what 2 Peter is addressing right here. It says you and I also, Paul wrote, it says you and I could have the mind of Christ. Wow. You and I could have the mind of Christ. We could think like he thinks. Why? Because Jesus only did what the Father told him to do. Jesus only spoke that in John 14, 15, and 16, John 5, John 10. So we can stand before God and say, man, I'm doing what is right. I'm following your word. And now to stand before God and say that, fear can't be part of that. There's no fear. The word of God tells us in Proverbs 28, 1, wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Your life, you can live boldly when you are doing what is right. When you're doing what is right, I can live boldly. When I don't know what I'm doing, I'm a little hesitant. You know, I don't care if it's Pastor Matt here. He is the computer guru, so I'll be on my computer sometimes, and I'm a little bit hesitant. And I go, man, I really don't know. That's one of those times when I say, I don't know, and he'll say, are you scared right now? And I say, yes, I am scared right now. I don't want to lose all the work that I've just done for the last 4 hours. I'm not being bold because I don't know what to do. Fear comes over because I don't want to lose that which I've already been working on. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Man, I've been working on this thing. Have you looked at the instructions? No. And now I'm full of fear. Because it appears as if it's done and half of the parts are still here sitting on the floor. Fear creeps in. Why? Because you didn't follow the instructions. It feels good for a while winging it, but when fear kicks in, there's no boldness. There's boldness in fear, contrary. Boldness in faith is contrary to that of fear. I don't know what to do. Fear kicks in. That's fear. I don't know. But Peter said, I have obtained precious like faith because I know the word. I know the word. So today there's a story in 2 Kings we're going to be looking at. But before I want to read the story to you, I'm going to ask that you wipe clean the slate of your natural knowledge right now. And that's hard to do. But, you know, we're living a supernatural life. Okay, for those of you who responded yes, okay. The rest of you, you need to wipe, you know, clear the mechanism today, because if you're filtering God's word through a natural mindset, you're going to be full of fear and doubt. You're going to say that can't happen. If you're a follower, those who attain precious like faith through the following, through Jesus Christ, who are studying the word, who believe the word, have a divine nature change, you believe that all things are possible. So when I read this, this is God's word. God's telling us a story, and you can't say, I don't believe that happened. Well, God didn't get this third and fourth hand from someone, and he changed it a little bit. This is what he did. This is the miracle that he performed. So when we hear God's word, you got to turn off the old mindset, because we have a new nature change. It's a divine nature, and this is what the spirit man takes hold of. The old man wants to sit there in fear and sit on that pew or on that couch at home and not do anything different, but this changes everything. So what happened here is, I'm going to give you a little background. The Syrian army is trying to capture Elisha, the prophet. The reason they want to capture Elisha is he's been giving secrets or secret information to the Israeli army about the attacks that Syria has been doing on them. He's been going out 3-4 months, sometimes days, months, weeks in advance, and giving them information. This is how they're going to strike next. This is how they're going to strike next. See, God has been giving him knowledge. Well, this is John 16. He will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. Well, God, I don't know what to do with this situation. Wait on the Lord. Pray fast. He will show you what to do. He was showing Elisha what to tell the Israeli army to protect God's people. God is for you. He's not against you. He's using Elisha to protect his people. So the enemy, Syria, wants to take Elisha out. Church, when you are doing something for God and acting godly, doing what is right, the enemy wants to take you out. Don't be surprised and don't be full of fear. So what happened is the word says that the Syrian army surrounded a city. Surrounded a city to capture one guy. One guy. He was down in a little house right here in the valley, and it says all along up on the hillsides, the whole thing was covered by the Syrian army. It said that they wanted to be sneaky, because remember, God was giving Elisha information about military attacks that were happening weeks, months, and days in advance, and he was handing off to Israel. So in order to capture Elisha, they thought that they should sneak down at night. It's funnier to me than it is to you. If God can tell you something that's going to happen a month from now, and the enemy's trying to sneak up on you at night? So you guys, this is where you can't cower to the enemy. He's just going to use a different weapon or a different way to get to you, but God's already proven nothing can stop what God's plan or God's purpose for your life. So now they're trying something different. So what happened was, Elisha has a servant, and the servant had went out in the morning do some errands for Elisha the servant. He stopped by to get his Starbucks first. And sorry, Bob, Big B. Sorry. I apologize. I saw that hand, Big B Coffee, conveniently located in four metropolitan areas. One off Ann Arbor Road, Plymouth, Livonia, Redford, Southgate. So let's revamp the whole story. So the servant leaves, goes to Big B, and he comes out, he gets his coffee, and he's coming back, and this is where we pick it up. So there's, the hillsides are surrounded by the Syrian army. No one knows this yet. They snuck up at night. Servant went out, just as a normal day, went out in the morning. Verse 15, 2 Kings. When the servant of the man of God, he rose early, and he had gone forth and did his errands, behold, he saw a host compassing the city, both with horses and chariots. Can you imagine this? So you're walking, you go get your little coffee in the morning, and you kind of look out and say, man, something's changed since last night. There's like 10,000 tanks and jeeps and people and soldiers all around me. This is what happened. So he went back, and the servant went back, and he said, I love this, King James, alas. That means, oh no, I'm freaked out. My master, what are we going to do? In the original Greek, it says, I'm fearful. So what this is, it's a panic, anxiety-driven statement. What was okay yesterday, now today I'm full of fear. Happened to anyone before? Right? Even though that army was there the night before, he just didn't see it. But now that he sees it, in the natural, he's freaked out. But see, number one, it's important who you confide in. See, he was out and about. It says he went back to the house to tell his master. He didn't go out to tell some of his other buddies, hey, did you guys see what's going on out there? This is crazy. See, you want to tell people who are not just even with you, but above you in their walk with Christ. Well, hold on. You're saying there's people, but oh yeah, I go to other people who are stronger in the faith. I'm telling you, there's people who at different times in your life are going to be stronger in the faith than you. I know it's impossible for some of you to even fathom that, but yes, there are people. This is why we're all growing in Christ, but some are down here, some are here. See, this is, as a church, we want to make sure everyone's growing to be more like Christ, but they're all at different stages. So what you want to do is you want to jump up a stage or two and say, listen, this is what's going on. This is what I see naturally, and the natural, this is what's going on in my life. But you don't want to grab someone beneath you, right? Don't go to the person who has the most head knowledge but doesn't live the word. I don't want to go. Don't go to the person who's the easiest and convenient. Well, they always answer their phone, so I'm just going to talk to them. Don't go to the person who always agrees with you regardless of what you say. Come on. We all have those people in our lives, right? They go, oh, yeah, I agree with you. And then the next day, well, yeah, but now I don't. Now I think something totally different. I agree with you, too, about that. It's like, well, what? That's no counsel. Don't go to a person who's going through an emotional time in their life as well. John 6:63, my feelings profit me nothing. It's the Spirit, this truth that gives life to any situation. Don't go to a less mature Christian, one who's still on the milk. Well, I just love the way they worship. Maybe I'll ask them. Don't go to a person who will fuel your fire, agree with you about offenses or your fears. Don't go to that person. Go to the one who knows the word and will speak the word into your life. Choose wisely who people are in your life. Your close friends, your close counsel. Choose very wisely who those people are, who you share those intimate, not just times of your life, but when you're going through struggles, who are you sharing that with? And this is what it says, verse 16, Elisha answered, what did he answer? Fear not. Fear not. So a servant said, hey, we got trouble. Elisha, fear not. Why did he say fear not? 67 times in the New Testament, it says fear not. Why? Because we tend to fear. Why don't we follow God's word? Because we're fearful it's not going to give the results that it promises. We fear that God may need a little help with our plan. No, God wants you to do his plan. Elijah said, fear not. See, if you don't cut out fear to what God's word is saying, you're not going to go anywhere. You will be frozen. You won't think straight, look straight, talk straight. You can tell when someone is troubled by something, can't you? You know someone intimately, you know them well, and you can tell when their mind is somewhere else. Something's troubling them, and they won't be able to reason anything else anymore because God's word can't coexist with fear. God's word gets rid of fear. So you, when you read God's word, see, don't run from the word when you're full of fear. You run to the word when you're full of fear. When someone, your counsel, that whoever it is that your counsel, they better be giving you the word and not their opinion. Because opinions change. God's word is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God's word never changes. So Elijah answered, fear not, for, and here's the reason why you don't fear. Elijah just didn't say, fear not. He's giving them the reason why. Why? Because as adults, mature people, right, we want to know why. Right? Well, no, Pastor, I live by faith. I don't need to know why. Well, obviously, he's telling us why. Fear not, for they that be with us, for those who have obtained precious like faith, 2 Peter 1, those, you and I, who have obtained precious like faith through the knowledge of Jesus Christ and have a divine nature change, who are in the power of God's word and grace and peace are now multiplied unto us. Fear not, because they that are with us are more than that be with them. Elijah could say this because he knows God's word. You can speak, fear not, when you know God's word. When you're starting to tremble in fear, that means your eyes are focused on the problem instead of the solution, which is God's word. As soon as you see, oh man, I don't know what to do, man. Oh, honey, something come up at work. You're not going to believe this. They asked me today, what do I think about same-sex marriage? My boss asked me that today. What did you say? What did you say? I was full of fear. I didn't know what to say. Oh, righteousness before God. What does the word say? But I'm fearful I might lose my job. Who got you that job? God got you that job because you were being bold and righteous. And now you don't want to say anything because you might lose it. Well, don't you think the person who got you that job could get you another one? God's just saying, man, if you be bold, if you get fired, praise God, you're obedient unto me. Now I can bump you up in the plan that I have for you. The plan that he has for you is to be righteous, remember? You don't get to move on to your next career spot or job or friendship or new whatever you have in your mind what you want to do. You can't move on until you show no fear and show that you'll be righteous when a situation comes up that's counterintuitive to what you're going through right now. God wants bold people who are bold as a lion to stand for God's word. So Elisha was able to say, they that are with us are more than that be with them. This was because he knew the word. It's not denying there's a problem. It's admitting, confessing, and proclaiming that this is the solution. There's a lot of Christians who go, oh man, I'm not sick. I'm not sick. I'm not sick at all. I'm not sick at all. I just don't know. Well, what's the IV in your arm? Well, I don't get sick, Pastor. I don't get sick. Well, I mean, you'll have people with a broken arm. Well, my arm's not broken. Well, then why do you have it in a sling? See, it's not wrong to say this is the issue. There's a problem. What's wrong is saying God can't heal me. I've had people not come to church because they didn't want to know anybody who was sick. just because you're sick, you're living in sin. No, we live in these sheltered bodies. They're nothing. They're going to fall away just like this. They will get sick. Things will happen. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and yesterday I had 102 degree temperature all 4 days. I was in urgent care Friday night. And I walked in, she looked at me, she goes, "You don't look good." I go, "Well, that's why I'm here." And I said, "Listen, all you have to do," I said, "I tried prayer for a couple days, and now he directed me to come here." And she goes, she just stared at me. I'm thinking, I'm fearful, maybe I should have got treated first. And she said, I said, "You know what, I asked for prayer first. I gave God work on me. If not," I said, "so," he said, "come in here." And she just stared at me for a little bit. And she goes, "Well, what's going on?" And I says, "Well, I'm preaching on Sunday." I said, "So whatever it is," I said, "God's going to tell you what I need, and he's going to help you examine me." Man, that opened up the door for a great conversation. It opened the door for a great conversation. But don't ever be embarrassed about going through a trial in your life. Don't be embarrassed about going through a difficult time. Man, there'll be times when marriage is tough. I mean, it's tough. Amen. All right, it's tough. We'll edit that in later. Come on. Relationships are tough. Friendships are tough. Financially, it can be tough at times. Job, knowing what to do, it can be tough. All the word is saying, though, is fear not. I've got this. How do I handle that relationship? Through the word. How do I do my finances? By the word. How do I pray for healing? Through the word. Well, God, whatever happens, happens. No, by your stripes we are healed. And God, it says to come forward and have hands laid on me, anointed with oil, and I want to be prayed for. Man, all you have to do is the word. Well, how if I'm not healed? I'm commanded to ask for prayer in faith, believing that I can be healed. The rest is God does the work. Whenever he decides to do it, why? Because it's his glory. He gets the glory for how he's going to do it and when he's going to do it. That's why people are fearful of even to come forward for prayer, because they don't, how if it doesn't happen right away, if I didn't have enough faith. No. But the only thing you should fear is not coming forward and asking someone to be prayed over, because you are commanded to be prayed for in faith, believing that you can be healed. You are commanded to do that. Verse 17, Elisha prayed. See, fear not. And I said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes." Open his eyes. Open his spiritual eyes that he may see. The Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha and the Syrian army. He was full of fear and couldn't see the word. Because God promises, "I go out before you. I go to the left, I go to the right, I'm behind you, I go everywhere." So all of a sudden, bam, open your eyes, open up your eyes to the word and the promises in God's word. And then he saw the armies around everywhere. Because a friendly man, his counsel of Elisha, his close friend, his confidant, he said, "Here's the word, fear not." And open his eyes. Now here's the part where there's angels all around the armies of God. Armies of God. Elijah prayed to the Lord to open the servant's eyes, and then he saw the angels. Then what happened to the fear? Left, gone. Jesus, Bible said, could have called down 10,000 angels just like that. It says, wherever you go, there's angels delivered messages, Old and New Testament. They were with, they were spoken. You and I are not alone in our daily life. We don't have nothing to fear. God is for you. He's watching you every moment. He didn't say, "Hey, Grant, hold on just 1 second. Don't move. I got to answer Pastor Matt over here, okay? And he's busy, so don't you move. It's just be like an hour. I'll be right back." No, I'm covered. Wherever I go, I'm covered. Wherever I go, I'm speaking this, I'm walking the word, I am covered. He's just always going with me. I have a throng of angels going over me. Just everywhere I go, they're coming out looking for me. So the way to get out of fear is to get into the word. Out of fear, into the Word. I jump out of one and I jump into the other. As soon as you understand the Word and God is for you, fear has to leave. 1 John 4:18 tells me that there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. Fear has torment. Fear of losing your job has torment. Fear of not having finances for your future has torment, keeps people up at night. Fear about your children, now that you're out of your house and you don't have that influence on them, if they would just listen to me and I can't speak in their life anymore, that has torment in it, and it keeps people up at night. But perfect love casteth out fear. What is perfect love? God is love, isn't it? Well, so what are you saying? Well, see, God is love. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. This is love. This casteth out all fear. How can you be fearful and read this at the same time? It's impossible. I go to this because I'm in fear. This takes away, it casts out the fear. It just, it obliterates it. Because it says, grant, all things are possible. Cast all your cares upon me. As I've done for this, I've done for him. As I've done for you, grant, I'm no respecter of persons. What I've done for him, I will do for you. It's a constant reminder of who I am in Christ. We all have different types of fears, but one type of fear is rejection. And rejection is not based on inferiority, it's based on superiority. I'm going to clarify this so that you understand this, but we have a fear of rejection. A fear of rejection. It's at the basic level of starting in school or little kids, when they fully understand who they are in Christ, and they understand that they're different than other people. Do you know that we're different than other people? Well, I don't want to be different. I don't want to be weird. No, we're sojourners. The Bible says that we're aliens to this land. This isn't our final home, so we shouldn't act like it. I follow this. I have a divine nature change. I don't go. But as even at these youngest ages, when you don't say the same words that everybody else is saying, you don't watch the same movies, you don't listen to the same music, all of a sudden you begin to separate yourself. And then that's where rejection comes in. Y'all know what I'm... Because of what we choose not to participate in, because God has called us to be holy as I am holy, and it doesn't benefit me, doesn't do these things, all of a sudden, there's a fear of rejection. But it's not because of your inferior, it's because you're superior. And I don't mean this in a snooty way, I'm better than anybody else. God is saying that to you. Don't cower and do what they're doing, because I've called you for a higher purpose. I've called you for a higher plan. I didn't call you to stay down there. I've called you to elevate you. See, God has called you to prevail and not fail. In order to act like everybody else, you will fail. But in order to rise up so you will have a bigger platform, in order to minister to people, you have to line up with the word, stop fearing. And as a result of that, you know what? You will be rejected because of being godly. If you turn on the news, if you're a politician, you will be rejected for godly views. You will be rejected. How dare you say that? Pastors will be rejected by their own congregation for godly views. Not this church, of course. Ephesians 1:3, this is what Paul wrote the church. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He has chosen you and I before the foundations of the earth were formed. Now, it's up to us to choose him. But as soon as you choose him, because he's already chosen you, he already had a plan for you. As soon as you choose him, and that's his plan, as soon as you choose the word to be your plan for your life, following Christ, he says, as soon as you choose this, he goes, it's limitless what can happen. As soon as you separate yourself from the world, they will reject you. They want to reject you because they want you to feel inferior, but you are superior in your way of thinking according to God, because he has chosen you from the foundation of the earth. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Why? For my name's sake. So we are afraid to speak and do what we've been called to do, which is live the word at school, recreation, at work, because of fear of rejection, fear of promotion, fear of financial gain. When God provides all my needs according to his riches and glory, seek first the kingdom of God. See, doesn't that get rid of the fear right there? Well, they came now with this new sensitivity training for this and this and this, and I was like, okay, all right, whatever. And they want to know if I stand like this and this and this on this issue, and you know, they're asking about abortion the other day, and they're asking about this, and you know, I told the guys, you know, I don't drink, and bam, I got kicked out of that group right away. And then they said, well, why don't I swear? And I says, well, the word says that the filthy mouth, it's like, bam, they kicked me out of that group right there. All of a sudden, you become isolated. They make you feel inferior because you're isolated. And God said, thank you, you can be trusted. I'm moving you to the next location. See, we're trying to live superficially and being in there. The world is making us feel inferior, and God says, I don't care what they think, care what I think. God wants to elevate you, but you're cowering down what everybody else thinks about you. So if you want to rise in Christ, understand, he already chose you before anyone else. It doesn't matter what everybody else thinks about you. He decided to choose you. So from a job position, however you got that job, God elevated you there for a reason. Don't act like the rest of the world now to keep it. Because by acting godly, you could get fired from that job or they might get isolated. But that might be the very thing that God needs to move you. We get so comfortable in positions, in places where you live, where you stay, with your friendships. But if you get in love with this again and fall in love and just obey it, I'm telling you, your friends will be different. The ones that will tell you, open up your eyes and fear not. Your job might be different that will supply all your needs because you keep trying to do it yourself and act like everybody else. Your whole world could change just like this if you just follow God's word. You'll see that in Genesis 50:20, as Joseph was rejected by his brothers, Joseph, Old Testament, who lived right, was righteous before God. He was thrown in prison. He did all these things. It's like, what a terrible thing to do to follow Christ and have all these terrible things happen to you. But as for you, this is Joseph now speaking to his brothers. You thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. See, he didn't care what other people thought about him. He didn't seek to get revenge on people. He saw them for what they really were. They were walking in their own evil ways and thoughts. The enemy was using them to help Joseph shrink and feel inferior. But he knew God had a different plan for him, and it was to be superior, to save a land. See, God has a special plan for you, and it's not to keep you down in a low place. It's to raise you up and elevate you so you can be a blessing to other people. Jesus said in Mark 12:10, the stone which the builders rejected has now become the head of the corner. They didn't want Jesus either. They made him feel inferior. They rejected him, but he is now the Savior and the head cornerstone. Ephesians 1 and 6, it says, praise God, the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted and beloved. Don't look for acceptance from the world. The only way they'll accept you is if you're acting like them. How can you draw people onto Christ if you're just like them? Fear not. Open up your spiritual eyes. God, why do you have me here? Grant, open up your eyes. The reason I have you here is to draw all men unto me. Has nothing to do with your finances. Has nothing to do with anything else. Where God has called you, it's to draw men unto him. He didn't choose you to relax. He didn't choose you to have a posh life. He didn't choose you to have to flop through life and not have any cares in the world. He chose you to minister to people. But in Ecclesiastes 10:5, wisest man ever said, there's an injustice that I've seen in the world. It's an injustice caused by rulers. There are stupid people. I love this. There are stupid people have been given positions of authority which rich men are ignored. When he says rich men, it's not financially rich. Rich men, word of God. I have seen slaves on horsebacks while noblemen, believers in Christ, go on foot like slaves. See, he's talking about the church. He's talking about people like you and me. He's saying the one that is supposed to be the head is acting like the tail. He's saying that the people that God says, hey, they're inferior because they're not following Christ. They're allowed to do all these things and run businesses and act and be creative, yet the people of God sit there like the tail and says, well, I can't do anything. In governments, we have people who I believe that should be in high places who are believers in Christ, but they're afraid. They're afraid to say anything because of fear about what people will come against them and say to their family. Remember, God goes before you. Because the vision that they had, he says, stupid people are given positions. I'm saying right now that there's people who shouldn't be ruling. Romans 1 said that these depraved mind people are now in authority over you. They don't even have the capabilities to make a right decision anymore, but they're judging you. So the church, we need to get involved in every single facet of life and stop being fearful of moving ahead with what God has for us. There's a bigger thing. God thinks big. He doesn't think small. We need an aristocratic mindset, a joint heir with Jesus mindset. The job he's given you, do it the best of your ability as long as you have it. If you're not working right now, if you're retired, whatever God has called you, you do it to the best of your ability, but you fear not with anything you have to do. If it's with physical, if it's with finances, you fear not. So the first thing that the Holy Spirit, as he comes to you in John 16:13, he's going to tell you stop acting like a chicken and look like an eagle. A chicken looks at the ground and he picks off the ground any single thing that crumbs that he throws to them. That's not what a child of God, oh, hopefully I can get this job. Well, hopefully my kids will be better. No, an eagle soars above the problem. An eagle sees out in advance. An eagle sees in form. He'll show you things to come in John 16:13. The eagle looks totally different. He's not impaired by what's going on below. The eagle soars above. The Holy Spirit's going to tell you that you're not underneath, that you're above. You're not the head, you're not the tail, you're the head. He's going to tell you that you have the nature of the Heavenly Father, and it's no longer you that liveth, but Christ that lives in you. He's going to tell you to speak confessions of faith and stop thinking confessions of fear. He's going to tell you to start acting different around people like a child of God and stop acting like your old self. But this doesn't develop automatically. You have to be in the Word. It goes back to the Word. It goes back to the Word. This isn't an act, church. This is a ram. What comes out of the mouth is coming from the heart. What's inside, it comes out. And God has something for you and I to say. Ecclesiastes 8:4, where the word of the king is, there is power. Speak the word over a situation. Why? There's power. Power gets rid of fear. The word gets rid of fear. Job 22:28, thou shalt decree a thing and it shall be established unto you. What's a thing? It's a promise in God's word. I'm having difficulties and here. I'm not going to fear over a family situation. I'm not going to fear over finances. I'm just going to start speaking the word over it. Well, no, let's just sit and talk about it. No, we talked about it long enough. We're going to start praying over it. Well, no, let's make us some plans. Well, Pastor, we need to use wisdom. Hey, I know James, I know Proverbs. You know what? God, he will give you wisdom, and that's great. Pray first. Pray? Yeah, pray. Pray. It says, for those who pray and ask for wisdom. I'm going to ask for wisdom in prayer. God, tell me what to do. I'm going to spend some time, and I'm not going to leave until you show me what to do. And I'm going to decree that thing that you told me to do, which is your word, and it shall be established unto me when you will be glorified. So we don't understand, I don't think, or we don't even comprehend how much God is for us. We act depleted. We act so fearful at times because we don't want to take a step out in faith, but that's the very thing that made Peter walk on the water. No, Pastor, you don't know the rest of the story. Peter actually sunk. No, it says he went down a little bit in the water. He didn't drown. Man, it's still he was full of a little bit of fear. Why? Because he took his eye off, right? He started being like a chicken, right? The eagle looks up, chicken looked down. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe I'm walking on the water. The waves are kind of rough. It says he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord grabbed him. God's going to save you. God's going to save you. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. Micah 4:9. Why do you cry out loud? Is there no king in thee? Why do you cry out loud? Is there no king in you? Church, we can become so full of fear and we cry out. God's asking you, do you not remember who you are? Do you not remember my word? You little children, 1 John 4:4. You have already come. Greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. So why are you crying? I got this. I got this taken care of. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Fear is not from God. Well, Pastor, I have a healthy fear. No, you don't. Fear is not from God. Cast all your cares upon him. Don't try to twist scripture to manipulate fear. if it's paralyzing you and you're not doing something that God's word says to do, get rid of it. Why? Proverbs 28:1, the righteous are as bold as a lion. God's plan for you is to get rid of fear. Don't be scared to do something he's told you to do. Don't be scared of something that the word tells you to do. Don't be scared of doing what is right because you might lose your job. Don't be scared of acting righteous in order to get your results. You're here to get God's results. One of the worst things you can do as a Christian is to be a thermometer. You need to be a thermostat. A thermometer says what's going on in the room and it adapts to the room. I'm the person, if I go over to someone's house and the air conditioning is not cold enough, I will go to your thermostat and I will move it. But as Christians, we should all do that. I'm not a thermometer. As a child of God, I'm a thermostat. I walk into a room, and because of my faith in the word, I change the whole environment of that room that I'm in. I'll walk into a room, people are crying, oh, I can't believe this. Wait, what's going on? Hey, let's speak the word over this. Well, we've been talking. Enough talk. Let's start speaking the word over this and start praying. That's a thermostat and not a thermometer. Thermometer says, oh, let's all commiserate together. I'm not saying there's not a problem and we don't identify the problem. That's why we're praying. But we need to, as believers, cast the fear out, and that is only through the word. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Y'all, let's all stand this morning. Pastor Matt, if you can come. Y'all get this today? Yeah. You're not going to fear anymore? If you want to move in God's plan and God's will, God's purpose, you got to get rid of the fear. His plan for you is to get rid of fear, because you can't move on to God's next step if you got fear. Heavenly Father, your word, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, separating the bone from the marrow, but I'm, you know, this is real stuff that we're dealing with, and fear, it's paralyzing people. But you didn't call us to be double-minded. You didn't call us to be people of doubt. People who live in fear, always wondering, is this the right step? Is this the right move? Father, we walk with everything and we answer your word. The Holy Spirit will only remind us of those things we've already read and already heard. Jesus would only speak those things the Father already spoke, and God penned it all down in his word. There's no question how we're supposed to respond in moments of, I just don't know. We go to your word. Father, it lightens up our path. It's a lamp unto our feet in everything that we do. So I pray right now for anyone here right now who has fear in their life. Fear, even at work right now. There's something going on at work that they're afraid to say anything because they might lose their job. Something just, it's not right. It's going on. God, you've called us to be separate. Stop adapting to the world and becoming that thermometer at work and being just like everybody else, taking the temperature of the room and becoming just like it, speaking like them, talking like them. And if anything contrary to your word happens, we say nothing because we're fearful of who's going to provide for us if we lose our job. The word says, you're my provision. I pray for is this upcoming season for politicians across this country. God-fearing, Bible-believing politicians. Father, they don't waffle on your word. That they're as bold as a lion with what they have to say. And Father, as believers, we stick behind them and we share our viewpoints as well. It's God's word. That's what we stand behind. Even at the local level with people that we put in positions over us, it says when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. It's just God's word. But I pray right now for physical needs right now that they're in fear. I just, with your eyes closed, if you have a physical need right now, I want you to raise your hand right now. Just physical need. You don't know what the outcome is. Physical, just keep that hands raised right now. Keep physical need right now in Jesus' name for those hands raised. For the fear of the unknown, about how's this going to be treated, how's this going to be resolved, about how's this look like for my future and my work, if it's not healed, God, right now, cast aside those fears right now, because it's your word. Your word is going to go forth right now in them. Let them hold on the word. It says, for those who are righteous, they speak as bold as a lion. And you speak the word and the word only in your life. It says, God is for me. He's not against me. So, Father, right now, even with that hands raised as a submission unto heaven, I just pray right now, supernatural, divine nature change in their body right now. That whole nature, that chemical makeup in their body, touch it, change it right now in Jesus' name. I pray right now, from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, a total healing in Jesus' name right now. Jesus' name right now. With those hands down, now hands up right now, raise up right now. Just relational issues. I don't care if it's marriage. I don't care if it's with moms and dads, with brothers and sisters right now. Relational issues right now. Just hands going up right now. Hands going up. Hands going up everywhere. Father, in the name of Jesus right now. Whew, perfect love casteth out fear. How to handle those situations can only be found in your word. Father, I pray right now for people who don't want to lose that relationship, so they fear saying what you've asked them to say. Fear of loss. Fear of there will never be restoration. Fear of being lonely. Father, I pray right now a peace that passeth no understanding come over them right now. Your word says that the Holy Spirit will be their guide, will be their comfort, will be their friend at this time. The word says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. The word says all things work together for those following after your word. Father, you see their hands raised. You know they're serious. I just ask for intervention right now in Jesus' name for them to do their part, but now you said you'll do your part. You do yours. I'll do mine. God goes, he does the work. Financially right now, for those hands to be shut down and raised up financially right now, there's just some stuff going on financially. You just don't know. Raise up hands right now. Hands all over. Father, submission unto you right now in finances. Father, with decisions, we don't know what to do. Fear about what tomorrow, fear about the next thing. It just doubts about, am I doing the right thing? Should I be doing this? Should I be moving? Should I not be moving? Should I be selling a house, not selling a house? Should I be moving 401ks, not 401ks? Am I getting close to retirement? What about this job? Should I take a secondary job? Should we take, I don't know what to do with the kids and this college and finances. Father, I pray right now, as the word said, trust me. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Trust him with your whole life, church. That includes your finances. David said, I can lay my head down at night because I knew the Lord to sustain me. Don't allow finances to keep you up at night. You do your part. You give unto God your first fruits. You tithe even when it doesn't even make sense. God says, I will open the windows of heaven and I will pour out a blessing upon you. That's a promise in God's word. That's his word. God is not a man that he should lie. You can put your hands down, but everybody else here today, I'm praying right now for people who are just in job situations and they just don't know if they're supposed to stay there or whatever, and things are different than you ever thought they would be, and people are just, they're not godly or whatever it is. God's placed you there for a season, for a reason, for you to share the gospel. Yes, you'll get some needed experience and all those things, but I'm just asking right now, stop fearing what tomorrow may hold. Embrace where God has placed you today. He will open doors for you for your future if he can trust you today. Be righteous today. Reveal your divine nature change to those all around you so God can promote you. Stop trying to make yourself better according to the world. Prove to God that you can be trusted and so he can elevate you. For anyone here today who has not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who has not uttered the words, Jesus, come into my life, wash me clean of all my sins and be Lord of my life. I want to ask you right now to raise your hands. I want to pray with you right where you're at. Any hands this morning? Any hands? Father, there's no hands this morning. I'll take that as a sign we're all in the kingdom. Praise God. So your people, You need us to get rid of that fear. Be bold as a lion. The righteous are as bold as a lion. And we're going to go decree a thing, and it shall be established unto me. And where the word of a king is, there is power. And I know no weapon formed against me is ever going to prosper. And I know when I seek first the kingdom of God, everything shall be added unto me. And I know no word ever spoken from God is impossible for fulfillment. For those who need an answer today, I'm asking you to be patient and wait on God. If it's tonight, if it's tomorrow, if it's Tuesday, if it's Wednesday, be patient and wait on God. He's working on your behalf. There's angels have gone out before you. The moment you humbled yourself, this is Daniel 10, the moment you humbled yourself and began to pray and ask, it says the angels started working on your behalf. They're going out right now. So Father, establish the promise and promises in your word in every single heart here today. May we not leave the way we came in today. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen, everyone. Have a great week. Fear not.